thank y'all for coming to class this morning, and I hope you came expecting and believing for revelation knowledge to flow, so we'll have an understanding of the Word of God. And you know, I'm thankful for the opportunity to do this book, Joseph Prince, The Prayer of Protection. And it's really neat doing it and then seeing it work out in your life. Just little things, you know. And Dusty and I have probably talked about this one as much as anything. It's being in the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people. And we were talking about it yesterday. And it's really taken some pressure off of when you find yourself in a spot, you know, and you maybe want to get somewhere kind of quick, but there's been a, you know, you're slowed down or something gets in your way, instead of getting all worked up over it, we look at each other and say, we're going to be in the right place at the right time. You know, and only the Holy Spirit can really do that for you. But it's neat to be able to trust Him to do that for you and have you in the right place. And then, of course, last week, you know, we talked quite a bit about peace and letting the peace of God lead us. Remember that? We had some great discussions last week about that. And when I left, thought of a scripture that I thought, I can't believe I didn't think of that scripture while we were having the class. But, you know, I've known this scripture since, you know, I was really a babe. I have tried to live my life by it, and I know when I read it to you, you're gonna remember it or recognize it. But it's Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and it says, "And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. And in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you are also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always." And, you know, I guess this is probably one of the first scriptures that I learned about peace. And really, it's so true. It acts as an umpire. You know, an umpire, we were talking baseball just a minute ago. An umpire decides if that ball is in or if that ball is out. You know, if it's a strike or a ball or whatever. You know, an umpire has authority over the baseball game. Well, we need to allow the peace of God to have authority over our lives to decide if something's to be in or if something is to be out. And so I just wanted to open it up this morning, share that scripture with you. We had some great examples last week, some great questions. So, you know, I encourage you as we go on in the book, if you've got comments to make, please do, because it really adds a lot to the class, because we're all growing, and some of us have been growing in the Lord longer than others, and so we all have things, you know, that we can share. But well, hopefully we're going to finish this chapter. That's my goal. We're going to finish this chapter of Fearless Living. Let's turn to page 75. Or you can look at the board. I've written this on the board. Jehovah Shalom. Remember last week we talked about Jehovah Shalom? The Lord is peace. That's from Judges 6:24. But Jehovah Shalom is not just a peace of mind. I think this is just astounding here. You know, as I read this and put it up on the board, I thought, God, you didn't miss anything. God did not miss anything in what He provided for us. Everything that we have been need of has been provided for us through the blood of Jesus. And so the Lord is peace, Jehovah Shalom. And Shalom refers to completeness. This is from the Strong's Concordance. Completeness, safety, soundness, welfare, health, supply, peace, quiet, tranquility, and contentment, as well as friendship and human relationships and with God in a covenant relationship. Wow. You know what? That's what the world is hungry for. That's what the world's looking for. And, you know, it's sad, but a lot of the body of Christ, you know, that's what we're looking for too. It's that kind of peace. Jehovah Shalom, it covers everything. You know, when you've got completeness, you'll have peace. When you've got safety, when you've got soundness, welfare, health, supply, that all brings a place of peace in you, quiet, tranquility. You know, I just, you know, sometimes in that, I think our heart sometimes cries out for that place of quiet and tranquility. And we try to find that sometimes by what's around us, when really it's who's in us. It's where we can find that quiet and tranquility. Even in the midst of chaos, we can have quiet and tranquility on the inside of us. I'll give you just an example of that. Dusty and I took a little 3-day trip this week, and we were at a hotel, and we're standing, and we're getting ready to put our we had our luggage all fixed up to take out to the car. Now, there was three groups of people there. There was a group with some children. There was a man and woman with a wheelchair, and there was Dusty and I. Well, it was one of those times when the elevator was very, very slow. And you could just feel it. You could just feel it rising up. You know, they wanted to get where they needed to get. And this was one time when Dusty and I looked at each other and kind of smiled. And we both knew we were thinking we're going to be at the right place at the right time. Because you feel that irritation wanting to rise up on the inside of you. And so, the elevator comes up, and it was full of something. I can't remember.
Supplies.
And all the cleaning ladies. And they were going, they said, we're going up. So they're huffing and puffing. And then another one comes up, and couldn't get on that time either. And, I mean, these people had a stroller with a kid in it. And they decide they're going down the steps with the stroller with the kid in it. And, you know, and then, but anyway, I guess the point I'm trying to make, it's just like a perfect example of life. You know, or if you're just in a traffic jam, or if you're just standing in line in a department store, you know, and all this and that. And it's like, quiet and tranquility can be yours in the midst of all that's going on around you because of who's on the inside of you, Jehovah Shalom. And we're going to end this chapter, and he says that, you know, we need to invite Jehovah Shalom in our life. I think that could be, a daily thing. You know, Lord, I ask you to be peace in my life that I have need of today. You know what I'm going to face. And whatever that may be, you know, I set my heart. I mean, to me it would be good, you do it in the morning. I set my heart that you're going to be Jehovah Shalom to me today in the midst of where I may find myself. And, you know, you can know then peace, quiet, tranquility, contentment. I think contentment is one of the greatest gifts. There, I'm trying to think of a scripture verse. I think it's
Paul said, I have learned, and whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content.
Content, yes. And there's one, I believe it's in Romans, that says, godliness and contentment is great gain. I like that one too. So, and then as well as friendship and human relations and with God in a covenant relationship. Peace is just wonderful. It's just, and it, as we see, it's more than just peace of mind. Let's pick up on page 76. We're going to read down through some of this. When Psalms 91 says, you shall not be afraid of the pestilence that walks in darkness, it speaks of every epidemic, every virus, every deadly disease, and every outbreak. When it mentions the destruction that lays waste at noonday, it covers all accidents and outward destruction. When it talks about the arrow that flies by day, it covers all projectiles, including modern missiles that can shoot down planes. Some interesting thoughts there. Do you know what it means for something to walk in darkness? Doctors might tell you they do not know what disease is developing in your body, Now, as a child of God, you can claim his promise straightway and say, I will not be afraid of the disease that walks in darkness. Amen. That's interesting, isn't it? Do the necessary mental checks and consult with medical professionals, but do not do it without fear. Do it with your Jehovah Shalom. When you take God as your Jehovah Shalom, this is what he says to you. Do not fear, you shall not die. I think that's really neat. Take God as Jehovah, as your. We got to make this personal. We take God as our Jehovah Shalom. And you know that's what will draw people to you. You know that, don't you? Because people will say, why are you not upset in this midst of whatever you may find yourself in? But take Jehovah Shalom with you. He goes on and shares about the SARS outbreak that came in Singapore. But I want to go to the top, page 77, the first full paragraph. And it tells all that was happening and everything. But the most immediate impact of the new disease was fear. We have to look at that for a minute. You see that paragraph? Most pointedly, a report indicated that the most immediate impact of the new disease was fear. People stayed home more and avoid public or crowded places. This happened in Singapore, like swimming pools and shopping centers. Many also curbed their wanderlust and shelved travel plans. A heavy cloud of fear hung over the entire nation during this time. Every day, news outlets reported new infections and fatalities. You know what? God put Psalms 91 in the Bible, like just every word that's in there, every word has importance. And God knew that things like this would come on the earth, especially before his return. And he knew that, you know, we would have an opportunity to fear like we've never had before. And I believe we're in a part of that. You know, there could be an outbreak, you know, in the United States of something. Now, we haven't had anything as severe as this SARS. That was very deadly. It infected 238 people and 33 people died. But, you know, there could be an outbreak of that source. And what we have to guard our hearts with all the time is to not get in fear. He goes on to say that every day news outlets reported new infections and fatalities. It seemed like the virus was unstoppable and it spread from place to place. It resulted in people avoiding any places where crowds gathered. But as a local church, we continue to hold our services, which drew a regular attendance of over 8,000 people at that time, even within the climate of fear. And so part of winning a battle is recognizing what you're dealing with. And so I believe, I've always said this about this class, that it's a preparation. Or anybody that reads this book, it's a preparation. So then when we hear of an outbreak of, let's say, in any kind of form, but right now we're talking about sickness and the things that come at night, those things that walk in darkness and so on and so forth, you know, we've got to immediately say, you know, I will not fear. And then not feed the fear. You know, but your curiosity gets in just a little bit, human nature, if you allow it. And it's like, okay, well, you know, I wonder what's happening with that. You know, you got to recognize that that's just the tactic of the enemy to suck you in even more. And look how they dealt with it. And this is how we need to deal with it individually. Or if so, if it affected us as a corporate, you know, group or whatever. But he said, during this period, I preached strongly on the prayer of protection in Psalms 91. The church even gave out little cards with Psalms 91 printed on them to encourage our congregation to pray this prayer every day. I preached by faith on Jehovah Shalom, declare that as a church, the Lord's word for us in the midst of the SARS epidemic was what he told Gideon. Do not fear, you shall not die. By God's amazing grace, we can testify today of the goodness of the Lord that not one person who was attending our church regularly died from this deadly virus. Hallelujah. But you know, you do the same thing. you hear a bad report, or, you know, if we get a report of that coming, you know, and whatever, then, you know, as I'm reading this, I think you overcome good. You come overcome evil with good. You know, those are evil reports coming. And you overcome that with the good news of the Word of God. And then there's a praise report. It's a tremendous praise report. I hope you read it. The one thing that stood out to me when she was telling about her brother and everything was that she realized it was a war. And it was a battle that she had never imagined that she would be in. But, you know, she didn't give in and she didn't give up. But you know what helped her to not give in and give up? She had been listening to messages on Psalms 91 and so on and so forth. And on the completed work of the cross, she had been listening to messages. In other words, she had been listening to messages about Jesus and what Jesus had done. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And so you listen to those, and she was built up on the inside. Her mind was being renewed, and she was actually in a place where she could stand. You know, it's just what Tricia's taught us all these years. My mind just went blank.
Build your ark now.
Yes, build your ark now. Yes, and, you know, you keep yourself built up on the inside, and, you know, you can face these situations. Look at page 80.
One.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if y'all realize that's what Kelvin was diagnosed with.
No.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Guillain-Barré syndrome. Only he was eventually diagnosed with the acute form, the chronic CIDP.
Oh. No. Did not realize that at all.
Nope.
Well, I guess that's...
So you've won the battle too.
Yes.
Yeah, amen.
Absolutely. Amen. I mean, a lot of people just don't realize what this actually is. It's a very serious thing.
Only gave me 2 days to live, wasn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. But God.
Amen.
Wow. So I guess when you read this in this book, it was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. So really what you did is you did the same as, you know, what he's talking about here. You know, you built an ark. You've been building an ark, right?
Oh yeah, if we hadn't had the word in us when that attack happened. But thank God for his word.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we can rejoice. Wow. That brings that home.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that brings that home. Wow.
Nobody knows how, well, I can't say nobody knows, but to see the shape he was in when we got there, I mean, he couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. You know.
Yeah.
You never were afraid.
That's great. That's how half the battle, right?
That's
the battle, really.
Their faith was a testimony to all of us.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just think, if you had been afraid, you wouldn't be here. If you'd given in to that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. Well, it says, praise the Lord. Truly, we do not have to be afraid of diseases that even doctors do not know how to deal with, or as Psalms 91 describes, the pestilence that walks in darkness. The disease was too advanced for Shane's doctors, but it was not too advanced for the Lord to deliver him. That was in that testimony. Beloved, in the natural, there are so many reasons for us to be afraid. We can be fearful of terrorist attacks. We can be worried about contracting diseases and plagues. We can be anxious about destruction and accidents. Round the clock, there seems to be legitimate reasons for us to be filled with dread. But there is a realm that is higher than what we see in the natural, and I declare to you today that you shall not be afraid. And this is one that I'm really meditating on. Fear is a spiritual condition and cannot be combated with natural answers or by us trying to reason it away. That's such a truth in ourselves, in itself, I believe. It's like fear is a spiritual condition, just like faith is a spiritual condition. Faith is the opposite of fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. But I can tell you there's been times I've tried to reason away fear. I have. I realize that. I've tried to reason away fear. Or just tolerate, maybe. I think it goes back to the first class that we had in this chapter where, you know, you just deal sometimes with things and you may not even label it as fear. You just don't like it. But it's actually fear. It's got a root in fear. So I hope this has helped you. It has helped me. But fear cannot be answered with natural answers, combated with natural answers, or by us trying to reason it away. The Bible tells us that the natural mind cannot understand things that are spiritual. That's 1 Corinthians 2:14. So how can you not be afraid? And this is where he says, invite the God of peace to reign in your life. Now, when we go into the next chapter, we're going to learn even more about it. But that, I think that's a place. We need to expect peace. It is our birthright to have peace. It's our birthright. I mean, it was paid for by Jesus on the cross for us to have peace. Was it not? We were not at peace with God. Jesus died on the cross so that we can be at peace with God. Well, when you're at peace with God, then when he, if you invite him as the God of peace to reign in your life, then it's going to bring peace into every area of your life. Peace is so important. Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace. So if you have some fear in your life, invite the God of peace to reign in your life. There's a scripture that says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, when you understand your righteousness, you'll have peace. And when you understand righteousness and you have peace, you'll have joy. I've heard some teaching on that. You have to understand your righteousness first. Then you'll have peace, and then you'll have joy. We've tried to have peace and not understood our righteousness. We've tried to have joy and not understood our righteousness. But the foundation is our righteousness, our right standing with God, what Jesus bought and paid for. But he goes on to say, as you do, the robust peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And that's Philippians 4:7. Beloved, as you allow the Lord Jesus to be your refuge and your hiding place, you can receive the peace that he gives you. Today, hear the Lord Jesus whispering to you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that's John 14. Receive his supernatural peace, which is beyond what is logical, beyond what your limited mind can comprehend. Receive his supernatural peace that will guard your heart and become a bulwark for your mind. And may Jehovah Shalom fill your heart and set you free to live fearlessly in these dangerous times. Anybody want to make a comment before we move on to the next chapter?
The Psalms 91 verse 6, the pestilence that walks in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I had really never seen that in the arena of health. You know, you think about disease, mm-hmm. you know, some plague, something, you know.
Right.
But doctors say that we are genetically
predisposed?
Yeah, that's the word. Individually, we all may be predisposed to something specific. There's a genetic glitch here or a genetic glitch there.
Mm-hmm.
You get in the right circumstances, the right stress arena or whatever, and it will trigger that particular disease.
That's what doctors say.
That's what doctors say. But God says that, not of the pestilence that walks in darkness.
Yeah. We don't have to be afraid of it.
Darkly, you know, on the inside of us, you know, I always, when I read that, thought about things on the outside in the world, you know, terrorism, all the
things. Yeah,
that's true. But according to this, we can get ahead of even that.
Yeah. And they say, too, that, you know, if your mama had it, then you're going to have it. If your daddy had it, you're going to have it. It's a genetic, inherent, whatever, whatever. And that would be a pestilence.
Yep, it walks in darkness.
Yeah, and something could trigger it and make it. But, you know, no. Because of Jesus and what he did. He bore all of that. And we're a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. All things have become brand new. And, you know, we have to stand against that and say, you know, not in this house. I mean, because people expect that. All you have to do and go is go in a doctor's office and listen to conversations. And people will talk about what's wrong with them and they say, but you know, my mama had this. And so I'm surprised I haven't had it before now. And, I mean, you know, I'm just making a comment. But you hear that and it's just like, we have just been sold. I mean, it's just a lie. It's just a lie. Gene, you acting like you wanted to say something.
Well, I remember back when polio was the scourge of the land. I don't know how old I was, maybe 7 or 8. And I remember that, you know, my mother didn't want to, she didn't want to take me and my sister to act. I mean, we didn't, you know, to town or anything like that. We wanted to stay because that's where she felt like it was a safe place.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a young man or a child in the community that had it and was in an iron lung. And, you know, that was the conversation all through the community of what was going on there. And, you know, I passed that house, I think it was a week or two ago. I usually go out that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered that. See, the enemy puts stuff and he brings it back up.
Yeah.
And we've got to know what he's doing and his methods and the way he operates.
Yes.
Now, there was no fear. I had no fear of it.
Right.
But he brought it back up.
But it was still in your memory.
It was still there.
Yes. That's the thing. After all those years.
Yeah.
They gave shots for that, didn't they?
Yeah, this was before the polio vaccine came. And I remember it coming. And I mean, you know, my mother and others, I mean, get the children there, get them vaccinated.
Yes,
Come out with drops.
And then it came out with drops in a sugar cube or
something. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was in a sugar cube.
Yeah, that's true. I'd forgotten that. Yeah.
But, you know, you've got, the enemy really has a way of continuing whatever he's got started about 50 years, 60 years, 70 years probably ago. He's still trying to bring it back up and going to use it again.
Yes.
And see, I mean, we were in church. I was in church every Sunday, but nothing was preached or taught concerning this.
Right, right.
Salvation was taught.
Yes. Right. And thank God for that, but
absolutely. I mean, that's the main thing.
But salvation covers everything, you know.
But the salvation that was taught there, you don't go to hell. That was the salvation.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's it. You understand why the enemy doesn't want teaching like this.
Right.
I mean, tries to keep it down. I mean, look at the numbers in here. This place should be full.
Yeah. Amen, I know. Amen. I know. You know, and my regret is, and it's not because I'm teaching it, but my regret is, I'm not regret, but I guess my concern, I said, Lord, are there people that you say come to this class that think they don't need it, but down the road they're going to wish they had come? That's what's sad. That's what, you know, hurts my heart. But, you know, I'm not responsible for that. No. God just said, do it. You offer it. And, you know, you can't beg people to come. You can't talk them into coming. And I'm sure God has dealt with some people about coming, but they just think, whatever you think. I mean, I've been there, done that. I know exactly what's that like, you know.
But, you know, all of us that go through here, we're learning things, to, uh-huh. and we can pass it on.
That's, we can pass it on.
It becomes our responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah.
You figure how many books did they ask for? I mean.
How many books did we order?
How many sets of books was ordered?
Over 20, 20 something.
Yeah. More than who's here. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about it that way.
So the heart is there as far as...
Yes.
But
the other things call. Yes. And I realize for myself, and a lot of us in the room, we're in a different place than some people are. You know, people that have young children and, you know, things and all that, you know. I know. But I mean, as far as in this day and time, it's what the enemy uses as far as making decisions and, you know, and coming and whatever, but it's okay.
You know, I remember, I don't know what I said this in this class, but I remember many years ago, uh-huh. probably Pastor Robert, Patricia's probably been here maybe a few years, and he made a call one Sunday morning for people that had fear. There was fear of disease.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember the people that went up and they were so afraid. One of them had lost a parent to cancer, and I remember her going up there. Mm-hmm. I distinctly remember that third one. But see, this teaching can bring peace in the midst of that fear.
Yeah.
And you know, if it does happen, then just like with Kelvin, mm-hmm. and then okay, we've got to go through this, but we're coming out of the other side.
Other side of it, yes. Well, and the thing of it is, I think fear is a subject that a lot of people won't talk about.
That's true too.
You know, they don't want to admit they have a fear.
Right.
I mean, because it makes you less than or whatever. Am I the only one that feels like that? I mean, it's like you don't, you know, you got to be in faith. We're faith people. But one thing I've learned from this book is when you can acknowledge your fear and face it, it'll have less hold on you and you eventually, you know, can go. And I'll just give this example. You know, y'all have heard me say enough that, you know, I'm challenged when I ride in a car. I just said, you know, there's times I deal with fear. I can't tell you where it came from, where it entered, but I can tell you what, we traveled, and I knew what to do, and it had less hold on me. But I want to tell you how the enemy works, though. Great going out. But well, we just went to, where did we go? Pigeon Forge. Gatlinburg. We went in that area. But let me show you how the enemy works. This is what you got to realize. We're getting ready to leave yesterday morning, and we decided to stop at the Tanger Outlets. Okay? So we go a few places. Well, and this is nothing on Dusty. I realized later it was just the enemy. Dusty pulls out at an intersection, and he goes up the wrong side. It's one of those where you're pulling out, and you're going left, and there's a median, and you're supposed to go on the right side of the medium, but he went on the left side of the medium. But thank God. And I mean, I said, Dusty! But let me tell you, though, then I had to deal with it for a few minutes, and I felt that fear wanting to rise up in me again. But then I thought, the Lord said, I took care of you, didn't I?
Yeah, when
It doesn't mean nothing won't ever happen, but it's how you react in the midst of it. And I thought, yeah, you did. There was angels that had a special assignment for right there at that moment. And I laugh, but it's the truth. If we're praying Psalms 91, they had a special assignment right there for that moment. He was distracted. It could happen to anybody, but he was distracted and he turned like that. But anyway, Psalms 91 worked in our lives. And it kept me from being fearful the rest of the way home. You see what I'm saying? So it's working in me, and it's working in me. And I'm very thankful for it. Gene, you have something to say?
No, I don't.
Oh, I thought.
I could, but no.
Oh, no, you're welcome to. If you want to add to that, please.
Well, no, I was just thinking about that's where he's going to attack you many, many times because mm-hmm. that's been something from the past, you
yeah.
see. So he keeps working what's worked before. One of the books I've been reading and studying, it says he always goes down the same road.
Mm-hmm.
He never changes. He goes down the same road. So whatever scared us or whatever has caused fright before,
mm-hmm.
he'll use it again and again and again
yeah.
with the notion of, well, I'm gonna get her, him, whoever,
yeah.
down the road with the same thing. And whereas something that would really bother you might not bother Judy or might...
Right,
know,
or mine.
And it'd be something for her or something for me, and he knows.
Yeah. But the thing, I believe he found out he's losing ground.
Right.
He's losing.
I bet you it'll happen again. You'll have to come back up with the
some thing. Shape or form right. and realize, you know, what's happening and being able to stand against that. Because, you know, if I really gave into that fear, I mean, I know that it could get to the place where I wouldn't leave my house. That's how fear works, you know. And whether it's fear of flying, fear of riding in a car, or fear of whatever, we've talked about all those phobias and those fears and, you know, fear of butterflies and fear of, I know somebody that won't go outside because they're afraid of bugs. Well, gosh, God created, I mean, I think it's one of the, but see, that's not a fear for me. Bees, I'm not afraid of bees or ants or bugs or nothing. I love being outside. That's an example.
Mm-hmm.
And that person can probably get in a car and drive to Timbuktu and not think nothing about it. So fear is false evidence appearing real. It's not rational. We cannot rational. It's a spiritual condition. And I think probably for me the bottom line is what we've talked about. Perfect love casts out all fear. There's some area in my life where I need to grow in the place of knowing God's perfect love for me. To me, that's an ongoing growing in a place, is that God loves me, and he loves me so much that, you know, knowing that, it, even if it comes, it's not going to harm me, just like that happened. You know, somebody that's scared of being outdoors, you know, they would get to the place where they could be outdoors, and if an ant crawled on her, I mean, people can go berserk over something like that. If an ant crawled on me and said, well, it happened, but, you know, perfect love casts out all fear. I don't have fear of that. It's not just other things. But I'm going to close with this one thought here. I've heard different ministers say this, but the reason why we need to be in peace is because we hear God more clearly when we're in a place of peace. That's one reason. So, when the pestilence comes in the darkness, like he says, you get a bad report about you, yourself, or anybody, and you find yourself in the midst of that, God, you need to hear God. And so he wants you to be in peace in that place, you know, so that you can hear him. The next chapter is, it shall not come near you. And I thought about this. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. I thought, God, now you put this in there for a reason. And I know that people that go to war will see the 1,000 fall at one side and 10,000 at their right hand. But, you know, I've said, is there going to come a time that I'm going to see that? I mean, that's in there for a reason. and I get the opportunity to stand and say, it'll not come near me. I mean, I'm not going off to a physical battle and war like, you know, men and women have gone into. But I think, dear Jesus. But it says, it'll not come near me, and only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. You know, and that causes you to go, or your heart to go out to the wicked, people that don't know Jesus. That's why there's a great harvest coming in. That's why there has to be a great harvest coming in to the body of Christ. I encourage you, if you have time this week, to read this chapter, as always. But anyway, read this chapter. This chapter just intrigues me so much. And it's one, it's teaching that we already know. We've known and we've been taught in this church for years, and it's how to use the written word of God as a weapon. You battle with the written word of God, with fear, with the enemy, and so on and so forth. But I believe there's some revelation that God wants to bring to us that we've never even really thought of in that area. And we need revelation in that. I know I do. Because it's obvious, I'm not being successful in every area of my life where the enemy's wanting to come in and bring fear. And so I need revelation, just a revelation of the power of the written word of God, and that it is a weapon. And and it's really, it's teaching us about the battle of the mind. And I've heard Joyce Meyer say, and it's not because she has tremendous teachings on the mind and everything, but she said, as a Christian, you should listen to at least once a year. Take time to listen to teaching on the battle being in your mind. Because I tell you, if you win it there, you're going to win it everywhere else. You lose it there, you're going to lose it. That's the bottom line. So praise God, we're going to learn how to win, aren't we?
Yes.
We're going to get revelation of just how to win this battle in our mind. Alrighty, thank y'all so much, and we'll see you next week.